Welcome back to Fun Town, everybody. It's Tuesday for us. It's Wednesday for you. We are Jessica Liss. She had family business to attend to. She's not here for this one, so it's just me and Oscar and Austin. So what's up, fellas? How's your week been?
It's going.
Yeah? Still going?
Just another week in this existence that we have. They're not bad anymore, but, you know.
Can I tell you guys something that's very frustrating in my life? All right, there's few things I like to drink better than, and this is not an ad, but Pure Leaf unsweetened tea. And it comes in this rectangular base, right?
Right,
yeah. And it's got a neck to it. And to open them, like I'm trying to open it right now, which I should have done before we started recording, you can't help but squeeze a little bit into the bottles. And it's so full that tea just leaks all around and runs down the base between your hand and the container.
Todd, so, are you complaining about a company not skimping on their product? Like, is that what we're...
You're giving me too much tea!
I mean, by going to the square...
But look at how full that is. That's to the brim.
Yeah, I should have gave you a shot. It literally was level to the top of the mouth hole.
Well, that seems a little off. They might have a new guy on the fill station.
No, it's every time. I've been drinking it for years, and every time I open it, there's tea spillage.
That's what my dad drinks, and always tea spillage.
Right?
Wait, okay.
Yes.
So you're saying these overfilled teas have affected half of this podcast that we do. I haven't heard from Jess yet. It might be 75% of the podcast has been affected by overfilled tea bottles. That's
absolutely
Pure Leaf.
And it's delicious. I mean, it's the best tea out there, but now, there's a design flaw in the packaging.
And they make good spitters too, right?
Oh, the best spitters because they have the wide mouth. Anything like this or a Gatorade bottle, anything like that with the wide mouth makes a good spitter. Yeah. But, you know, I'm telling you, Austin, I don't know how much longer I'm going to need spitters, to be honest. I mean, I chew for the nicotine, right?
Yeah.
But there's other ways to get nicotine now. So Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by former smokers who are finally making tobacco alternatives that don't suck. That's been the problem with tobacco alternatives is usually they suck. So, you know, the problem, even if you go to a chew that's tobacco-less but has nicotine, here's the only problem. It's not appealing to be spitting into a bottle under all circumstances.
No.
Right? Like, you know, sometimes you don't want to sit next to a guy spitting in a bottle. Yeah. And I'm leaving the spit around where you have to look at it.
Or I accidentally drink it when I'm drunk at a party.
Yeah, right. That's the worst. One time I drank somebody's spit in a strip club. And it was not only disgusting at that level, but all my friends that were with me, because it was a bachelor party, nobody chewing. So I drank a stranger's spit out of a bottle that somebody I didn't even know at a strip club. So that's why I think I've been alive this long. My immune system is bulletproof. It's 2020. Get rid of your cigarettes. This is what I'm saying. Unplug your vape, throw out your tins of dip, and go get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges that actually taste great. Everybody that knows me knows nicotine's been part of my life since I was 18. I'm having trouble doing without it, but I'm escalating. I used to be a smoker, now I was a chewer, then tobacco-less chew. Now the only thing left in my life was spitting in the bottles and grossing people out. And I got some of this Lucy gum, different flavors. I got cinnamon, I got wintergreen, and I got pomegranate. So far, my favorite, I got to tell you, Jeff, is a cinnamon, because as a kid, I was always a huge fan of Big Red chewing gum.
Love the Big Red.
Oh, it's impossible to beat. And this tastes just like it. And here's the deal. You chew it up for like 10 times, right? And then you put it between your cheek and gum and just let it sit there so the nicotine can absorb through your gum and get your bloodstream quicker. And now, I got it in right now, and it's a very similar experience to dipping. but there's no spit.
Yeah.
I can swallow my saliva with this. So I'm not grossing you boys out during the podcast. It's beautiful. It's the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. When you sign up for it, it's so simple. It's 2020. Lucy has delivery down. Use the promo code FUNTOWN, and you will get 20% off all their products, including gum or lozenges made just for FUNTOWN listeners. Go to lucy.co, 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 and use promo code FUNTOWN and check out and get rid of your old cigarettes and your vapes and your chew. Also, I have to read this warning label to you all. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Yes, and if it didn't have nicotine, I wouldn't need it. So, just so you know, we read it as required. But listen, it's the real deal. This is a product I'm 100% behind. So if you're a person who has nicotine in your life and you know it's not going anywhere anytime soon, but you want to stop some of the other disgusting habits that you have, get you some Lucy, lucy.co. All right, boys. So I want to get into your weeks. I went to Wiley's in Dayton Friday and Saturday to do shows. And let me tell you something, man. The people of Dayton, those crowds there are always so much fun. Like, it was a really warm experience. Like, it was... We were all acknowledging that this is different. The time is different. The experience is different. Many of them had been there many times before to see me and Jeff, or other, you know, other times before to see me. And they were great. It was a really cool walk away experience.
I think that room is good for what they're doing right now, because what some it's of the perfect. Bigger, more kind of modern rooms have is that they're built for some larger capacity shows.
Yes.
And when they're lighter, they just seat everyone closer together towards the front.
Mm-hmm.
Now they can't do that, and people are spread across this giant room. Wiley's, they can just do it small, and if they need more room, it just kind of stacks up. So everyone's not all dispersed everywhere.
Visually, it was awesome. Go ahead, Joe.
I always felt that room had social distancing anyway. Like, they had tables so far spread far apart.
Yeah, the tables
in
are
that room that, like, I never distance. Like, that was one of the few comedy clubs where it's like, oh yeah, you could fit another 50 tables in here easy.
Mm-hmm. But I think rarely did they need it, you know. It was just but that way. But they were all about, like, we want to be able to get all the way around the table when we service them and keep it quiet to, you know, be able.
I would hate to be a comedy club server.
Yeah.
It's got to be the worst serving gig you can get.
Yeah. You got to be quiet. You want them to stay quiet. You still need to hear what's happening. You got to squeeze in between these tables full of packed people.
Oh, dude. Being a comedy club server or someone who works in the kitchen, it's the worst job in that industry because Chris Bauer's always said this best. He's like, imagine that you're at Applebee's. You work at Applebee's. But everyone that's coming in that night is showing up at the exact same time and ordering all within 10 minutes of each other.
Right.
And then the food all has to be delivered within 10 minutes of each other.
Yeah. Got to wrap this up in about an hour 45.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy to think about. That's why a lot of people come to comedy clubs from other just restaurant and bar jobs. And when they get there, they don't last very long because they're like, this is insane. But it's kind of, I think it's kind of cool if you're like, the adrenaline of it's kind of cool. Like, you're cussing, you're sweating and all that. But then when it's over, you're like, oh boy, I really accomplished something.
So I used to manage the kitchen at Old Point Tavern downtown for more years than I care to admit. And the Egyptian room was right by there. And so you would get slammed right before a concert, like every square inch, indoor and outdoor, would fill up, and you would just, you know, turn over like 144 tickets in like an hour. And then you would be dead. And so you're like prepping up. And then the concert would let out and it would just get slammed with a second wave of assholes.
all wanting deluxe chicken nachos. And, I mean, it seriously, like, the tickets would just curl up on the machine, and you're just like, they're like, what's taking so long? It's like, oh, I don't know. We just had 500 people walk in and all order deluxe chicken nachos within 3 minutes of each other.
I'm sorry, Stacy. Is there an average time for 400 orders of nachos that I should order?
Yeah, and the best part was we did them in a microwave. And so we didn't even have like a salamander or anything. And the most you could fit was two trays of nachos in each microwave, and we had two microwaves. So there, chicken nachos took 4 minutes. If you doubled up, they took 6 minutes. So right there, the fastest you can get out some nachos is 6 minutes flat. And when you have 400 of them, it's like, oh, great. This
can be closed
fast
by the time you do the last one.
Yeah.
I hate it. Props to all you people who can turn out fucking food service.
I sucked at
it. I hated it.
I feel
bad
for him now.
Food service?
I've worked in kitchens.
Like, you have?
Fancy kitchens?
Yeah, I used to work at a burger place that would just get absolutely slammed. It was one of the first, here in Indy, I'll say it was the first, like, burger joint that made a go of it. And it blew me away. Like, the amount of food, especially Saturdays, like, entire little baseball teams and stuff come in. Hey, we need 45 cheeseburgers, like, right now. I mean, it gets...
Really?
And then you have five baseball teams there all show up at the same time. I mean, it's that...
Mine's all pizza experience. I worked at a small little pizza shop when I was in high school, and then right after high school, I worked at a Pizza Hut in Longview, Texas for a summer. And that was an experience. Like, it was, I was delivery and pan washer. And so when in between deliveries, you just pan washed. And we had just moved there, dude. I didn't know anything about Long Beach, Texas.
How'd you get both? Was the manager like, we normally give the shitty jobs to two different people, but.
Yes. You would have, like, say that. On this shift, there would be two delivery drivers, so you would just alternate delivery orders. And so pretty much when one of you was, if you weren't both all out at the same time, you pre-wash the pans, put them on, and then put them in the thing that
what year is this? Would you say?
Well, this was 1989, so pre-internet. I just moved to a city and a state that I'd never been to before.
Pizza Hut,
and I
got
to rely on maps to find people's houses and apartments. Like, it was a nightmare. I was always late. People were always getting their pizza cold.
You're a frontiersman out there with your.
I know.
With your,
and I was like, I'm a high school kid. I'm not really good at reading maps. I've never been to your city. I don't know.
Like, it has to be so much easier now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you just punch in the address in your phone.
Oh, my God.
Take it right there.
And I wouldn't be surprised if you work for, like, a big chain, if you just get in your car and it knows where you're going, like your GPS knows already. I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you're all, at the very least, on the same app, right? So it's all, you see what's coming in and going out constantly.
Oh, yeah.
Probably routes you the best, quickest route, all that.
They probably give you a gun to take with you. Here's your bulletproof vest. Welcome to Papa John's.
Oh, so today I am. I wanted to get a webcam because I was sick of my shitty camera on my iMac. So
you look great.
It's better, right? I mean, it took me a while to get it set correctly, but so I'm going. I'm getting ready to order one. I'm talking to my son. It's because of my son. I'm talking to Bailey, and I'm like, hey, what kind of webcam should I get? I'm going to get on Amazon and order one. Of course, he's like tech survival guy. He's always got a plethora of equipment laying around.
He's like, so it all depends on what kind of OnlyFans page you're trying to open up. Are you trying to really get in there and let him see the goods, or are you just doing more of a...
Are you doing a lot of movies or just nudes? Just still nudes? Or what do you want to get done here, Dad?
Here's a true story about him, and this is what I'm talking about. We are at, it's Super Bowl week, We're both working for the Pat McAfee Show. We are at Topgolf doing an event for Wrangler where Pat is conducting like a live fundraiser show where all these awesome famous people from the NFL are coming through and participating in this long drive contest, right? And then he's also interviewing them while they're hitting golf balls and competing in the drive. It's like really fun. But we get there on the very first day, and we have all our own equipment and all this stuff, and we get it set up, and it needs to be a three-camera shoot. It's the only way that we can cover all the action. So one of the cameras isn't working. And it's probably 70 feet away from all the equipment. So the HDMI cord running to it, to where it's being recorded, about 70 feet distance. That cord goes out. And immediately all the production people are scrambling like, oh my God, we have like 20 minutes before the first person is due on. Where in the hell are we going to find a 100-foot HDMI cable, you know, with that kind of notice? We're in Atlanta. We don't know where anything. And Bailey goes, oh, I got a 100-foot HDMI cable in my backpack. We're like, what?
Bailey's got a 100-foot HDMI cable.
In his backpack.
In his backpack.
He just starts
That's
pulling.
That's the shadiest thing I've ever fucking heard, Todd.
Never shit out. And he pulls out this big spool of HDMI cable and runs it and saves the whole day.
A spool of HDMI.
This kid, since he's been 12 years old, has been storing electronic accessories. I mean, he always had a job. He always worked and had his own spending money, and he would just go on Amazon and he would just order things, I guess, just like, oh, one day I'm going to be an adult and I'm going to need all these cables and all these accessories. And he just stored them forever.
Todd, that's adorable, but technology might be the stupidest thing you could do that with.
Right.
He's going to be
always changing.
Look at all these CD players I have, Father.
Right. So I'm like needing, I'm asking his advice on a webcam, and he goes, oh, of course, I have two that I'm not even using, you know, beyond the 12 that I use simultaneously all the time to game or whatever. So he's like, just come by and I'll give them to you and go try it out. So I do that. And when I'm driving back, there's cars stopped on the street, and then I see them go around, and there's three guys there. And one guy is on his back, and there's, of course, a white hillbilly dude with no shirt on, which is always a bad sign, standing over him very aggressively. And there's this very large,
the traditional fighting uniform.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a skinny, kind of homeless-looking dude on his back. There's a shirtless white redneck dude that's about 5'2", which makes him even more dangerous in the wild, yeah, that's standing over him. And then there's a very, very large, muscular black dude standing over this dude as well. And he looks angry. And I'm like, what in the fuck is going on? So I'm on the phone with Chris Bowers about something. I'm like, hey, buddy, let me off the phone. There's like something going down in the street. I don't know what it is, but somebody's about to get hurt. So I hang up. I pull past them real slow, and they look at me, and the guy on the ground just looks terrified. So I pull around, and I pull into the parking lot right next to him. Dumbest move I ever. Like, why would you do this? Just drive on, you know? So,
and
but
do
I
you
can't.
Have a gun on you, or you don't have to share that if you don't want to talk about
There's
it? There's
one in my console of my vehicle that I'm in, but I get out, and I do for a second think, oh, should I put that gun on me? And I'm just like, no. So I just walk up to him. And I keep my phone in my hand. So I think, well, maybe they think I have police on the way or something. And then I just start talking to them. And then while I'm talking, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I'm realizing I'm using cop voice. So immediately I could see like the pause in them, like, oh, is this guy like a off-duty cop or something? Which I have that down very well. I've been an off-duty cop for 21 years of my life. Like I know, but it's just naturally coming out of me because of the situation. And then I'm like, well, what the fuck's going on? And the two guys standing over him that were very angry, the little white redneck dude and then the big black dude, they're like, this motherfucker just walked right up in the street, started launching rocks at my house. My house is right there. He starts lying. He broke a window, and he's screaming crazy shit. So we come out here. I'm about to fuck this dude up. And then the white guy's like, yeah, we're about to fuck this dude up. And I'm like, all right, well, hang on. He's on his back right now. He's not hurting anybody. So I'm like, well, why don't you get up? So he gets up, and I immediately see he has a house arrest anklet on, right? And he's wearing shorts. It's very visible. So I'm like, were you throwing rocks at their house? And he just starts talking crazy. And I'm like, oh, this guy is either on something or he's just not right upstairs. So I look at the two guys and I'm like, guys, he's fucking not with it. Like, let's just get him the fuck out of here. Maybe call the police. Tell him this guy's walking around with an ankle bracelet on. He's violating house arrest. They'll find him. You know, just do that. And then the redneck dude goes running. He's tagged. Like,
get out the little bing, bing. Is that how it works? Do you just walk around like one of those little meters? Bing,
right. Bing, 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 yeah. So the little white redneck dude that doesn't have a shirt goes running into the house. I'm like, okay, maybe he's going to call the police. I don't have to. And then the big black dude starts to, and then he turns around and he starts mouthing off at that little dude again. And that little dude mouths something back. And then the black dude starts getting that hop, you know, that pre-punch you in the face hop, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, shit, he's going to kill this kid. He's like four times this guy's size. He's twice my size.
I want the little redneck dude and the big black guy to get a cartoon because I love their voices so far.
Like, if you saw them next to each other, they are a cartoon. I mean, they just did not look like they belong together.
These two live together, apparently.
Right. Yeah. So I'm like, don't hit him, man. Don't hit him. You hit this dude, you're going to kill him. He's like, I am going to kill this motherfucker. And he's pissed. Well, the guy just blasted his windows out with rocks. So I'm like, here, I'll walk him off, and then I'll make sure the police know where to find him. And he's like, yeah, all right, you better get this motherfucker away from me. So I walk the dude around the corner of the next building in that parking lot, and I'm like, dude, just fucking run. Go home. The police are looking for you right now. If you have that thing on, you're not supposed to be out of your house. Run the fuck back home. And he just takes off and starts running. So crisis averted. But afterward, I'm driving. Do you ever do something? And then afterward, like, you're like, that might have been the stupidest thing I've ever done.
I don't, like, yeah. Well, I think you did it. You went into cop mode without realizing it, kind of like you said. And you're like, I need to do something about this.
Yeah, and my cop voice, my off-duty cop voice, I think is the only thing that saved me. I never said I was a cop, but I think the tone that I was using and like how it was kind of like, you know, I don't know. But it was the only thing I think that saved me from having to get in an altercation. I don't know if I would have defended the guy, to be honest. Fuck, he broke his windows. Have at it.
Yeah, that is kind of a dipshit, I'm looking for a fight move.
But we're right in the middle of the street. I'm like, don't fucking kill this kid in the middle of the street. Yeah. Just
where did this take place at?
All right, so it's on 56 or 52nd Street between College and Keystone, about way closer to Keystone.
Oh, okay. No, so. I know a couple, and he's a short, fat, shirtless redneck, and the other man in the couple is a gigantic African-American male who is bald and buff.
Gotta
shit.
Be them.
And if you see them together, you're like, what the fuck are they doing together? And then you're like, oh, they're together. Yeah. And it's the weirdest, oddest, but my friend, he has this thing for super fat, short, redneck hillbillies. That's his.
Really?
That's his go-to when it comes to dudes. That's what, as a 6'4" black male, that's what he's into.
Is he available for the rest of the show? I'd like to talk to him about this.
What's funny is he is hilarious. I've told him many times he should do stand-up comedy, and he's an absolutely hilarious, hilarious dude.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, this white dude,
but he lived. Like, they live closer to downtown, kind of in
okay,
in like the Fall Creek area.
Okay, this was definitely Sobro. And the white dude, being 5'2 or 5'1, whatever he was, he looked like a miniature version of Boss Rutten. That's what I kept thinking. Like he was ripped, yeah. But definitely, but like Boss Rutten, 5'2 and really on meth. Like that kind of look, you know? And then the black dude, he's probably 6'4, 6'5, really solid. He looked like Ice Cube back from like Boys in the Hood. He had that hair with the NWO days with the hat on, mm-hmm. but just really like much bigger. Like if Ice Cube was like 6'4, 6'5.
Whoa.
And I was just like, yeah, what a weird looking couple. But or friends, whatever, you know, whatever they are. But they both act like they live there, so it might be a similar situation. But this poor kid did not have a chance. Like he's on his back. He kept trying to lean up, and every time he would, both those dudes would flinch, and he would just lay immediately flat on his back again.
So no one's hitting each other.
Not when I got there. I don't know how he ended up on his back, and I didn't see like he wasn't cut, and I didn't see.
He probably used my defense move called lay on your back. Yep. All on your back, start crying like a woman. Hope they leave you alone.
Jeff does a little known kung fu style known as possum.
Yeah. I turtle it.
Possum
turtle up, just turtle ball up.
Curl up.
Curl you're up. Kick me in the ribs, but that's about all you're going to get.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was hurts bizarre. Like a motherfucker, but.
Yeah, but it's better. Like, turtle up is, I mean, that's a real technique, turtling up. Like, if you can effectively, I think, like, protect everything that really, really hurts.
Yeah.
And last for a while. I've turtled up before.
I went into CVS on the east side. This was, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. And I ran in to get something, but I forgot my wallet at home. So I just walked in the store and came right back out. And I was maybe in there 1 minute. Like, walked back, realized I didn't have my ID to get my prescription or whatever. Come back out. There's a tow truck backing up to my car, like hooking up under it, like with one of those slidey thingies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And another dude's like up. One dude's doing that, and there's another guy looking in my front window. And I like walk out, and I walk up to him. I go, hey, what are you doing? And the guy looks at me and like just goes, walks over, gets in the passenger seat of the truck, and they like close their thing and just drive away.
Really?
And I'm like, what the fuck? So I get in my car and start chasing them because I'm a dumbass.
Apparently. Right. That's one of those things afterward. You're like, what was I doing?
Yeah. So they turned down this dead end road off of East Washington Street. And I'm like, now I got them. They're going down this dead end road.
Nothing bad ever happens on a dead end road.
It's in between two industrial buildings with nothing around.
Now, granted,
it's like 4 in the afternoon.
What are you, so Mad Max? Wandering through the wasteland?
I'm just like, what the fuck are these guys doing? Like, and they were from like Greenfield, like they weren't even, or Greencastle, like they weren't even from Indianapolis.
Yeah, and they're burglars.
So they get down to this dead end, and they realize that like dead ends into some train tracks, and I like cross the road, you know, stop, block them in, and get out, and like go up, like what the fuck are you doing? Trying to steal my shit? And they're like, oh, we had the wrong car, dude. And I was like, what the fuck? You know, in their face, like walking up, yelling shit. And I walk up and like look in their window, and they both have pistols laying in their laps.
Oh.
And I go, all right, cool, man. I just turned around, walked, got in my car, and drove the fuck away. Like, what else am I going to do?
It's a sweet gun collection you guys have.
Yeah, I'm out. You win. You didn't get my car, though, but... I have no idea what they were doing, if they were like a repo place and they didn't think they had the wrong car, because it was a 04 Grand Prix. It's been paid off for at least 3 months. I got 80 months financing on that bitch.
I saw a Escalade get repoed in college at a gas station. And that was pretty cool to see because I'm out there filling up gas and this guy pulls up in his Escalade. He's one of those dudes, just real cocky, leaves it running, doesn't give a shit. He goes in there, boom, here comes a van and this guy gets out and he's got keys and he starts hitting the keys to make sure that the Escalade is unlocked. And then he realizes it's running. He just hops in, drives away on it, and here comes the guy out of the convenience store, starts banging on this van.
Oh.
And the guy in the van stops and basically like shows him a little sign saying, we're with this repo company that works for the car dealership or whatever. Like, you haven't been paying for this shit, so.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, this dude just standing there like holding his fucking drink.
Damn.
With nowhere to go now. It was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
But they run up on it like they're stealing it when they do it. Because they figure quick. I have a minute to get this done.
Yeah, and you never know what that person what is going through in their life that you're taking that from. Like, are they gonna come with a gun? What are they? Well, a baseball bat? What's going to happen? My buddy, he was undercover, and we used to work together a lot. And he lived out in the country, but in an addition where there's like four houses, but they're kind of spread out, right? And he pulls up on his motorcycle. So he rode his motorcycle to work that day. Gets home on his motorcycle, pulls up, and he sees a vehicle, you know, he doesn't recognize. And he's like, what the fuck's that? But he just rides right up, you know, next to it into his driveway. Two guys come out carrying shit. And one of them, he had his guns in there. And one of them has one of Mike's guns. And he starts screaming. I'm like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Pulls Mike's own gun out on him from the house, starts charging at him with the gun. And Mike just immediately like ducks behind his motorcycle and sprints like through this line of trees down a hill toward his neighbor's house. And he's just screaming the guy's name. I don't remember his neighbor's name, but like, get a gun, get a gun. He's screaming his name like, Ernie, get a gun, get a gun. And Ernie or whoever, whatever his name was, hears him, meets Mike at the door and hands him his gun.
Wait, Ernie was that hot ready for a gun handoff.
Yeah,
holy goes shit, in and grabs his gun, this.
Comes to the door. Yeah, it's like a neighborhood fire drill or something, right? And hands Mike his gun. Mike just gets to his front door long enough to like sidestep, grab the neighbor's gun, runs back to his house. And they're not close together, but he runs back up there and the dudes are pulling off in their vehicle. And now he's got a long run to get back to his motorcycle, or if he wants one of his cars, he's got to go inside and get the keys. So by the time he does all that, he can't follow him off or anything. And they end up catching him a while later because he got a good look at him. But that's something he still talks about to this day. Just like, what the fuck are you guys doing carrying shit out of my house? And then all of a sudden, gun from the house comes just charging at him weirdly, you know?
Whoa.
Can you imagine? And that's one thing he's always said before. Like now, like looking back, I don't recognize that truck. I wouldn't have driven my motorcycle into the mouth of the beast, you know?
Yeah.
Like I would have stopped. I would have gone to my neighbor's driveway, just act like, oh, no big deal. I'm just driving by and said, hey, there's a weird vehicle in my house. You know, will you get a gun and come with me? And then we'll
and you see know what's that would have happened. Apparently is a great gunman. Blows my mind. He was ready just to here, take my gun.
One of those neighborhoods.
Yeah. I'll tell you, where I live, there's a lot of guns. You wouldn't think that.
Yeah.
But if you wander around Broad Ripple, you will notice that there's a lot of people carrying guns. It's pretty crazy, actually.
Yeah. I still want a gun.
Wait, you still want like a shotgun?
I think I want one of each. I want one of everything.
It's good to have a gun and then another gun that can be used to kill you. That's a good thing to have.
Right. Like I feel like I want a gun. Like guns on me. Like a gun in my house and a gun in my car.
In today's world, man, it's getting scarier out there. And I tell you, and I'm not like a big gun carrier. I can't even tell you the last time I carried my gun on me or something. But, you know, I usually have it in the car. There is something about, here's my thing. In my head, I am always this close to just driving up to a robbery. Like, you know, like late at night, I stop at a convenience store. Something in my head always like says, just stop. Don't get right out. Just look and see what's going on around you. Because I always feel like I'm just going to drive up and there's going to be a robbery inside. I'm not going to know it. And I'm going to sort of walk right into it without my gun and then it be in my car. And then what am I going to do?
Okay.
So I will.
You walk into the car and watch. Store. No gun. Robbery going on. What's your game plan? What's your move?
I don't know.
Of coffee, maybe?
I just go straight to the coffee station, grab both pots.
Casually get coffee.
The caffeine and caffeine-free. And just... I don't know what I would do. That was always my worst fear is I'll walk in too deep and then I can't do anything. Guns on me. Now I'm a hostage or whatever. But it's weird because I almost always have one in my car. So I think I'm being okay by just like I stay in the car and look around and make sure there's no robbery before I get out. But I don't know. So gun people yell at me because they're like, you fucking idiot. Why you got the gun if you're not going to fucking carry it on you? Mm-hmm. And then non-gun people yell at me because I own guns. So I can't win.
See, I own guns, but I also think that our gun culture in this country is just so screwed up now. It's so screwed up. There is a weird mentality around guns. I don't think a gun is anything you should ever like raffle, you know, and that's just...
I've had them raffled off at my shows.
Yeah. I worked a show where there was guns raffled before.
Was that our show?
we did. Remember that auction thing? And, I think, did I have to be the auctioneer or was there somebody else? I think it was me, you, and I want to say Dave Dugan.
Maybe.
Doing it together. And it was at, some private fundraiser show. And there was this auction going on beforehand. And I think, if I remember right, the headliner is usually supposed to be the auctioneer, but somehow I got talked into it. And it was really, really bizarre. But there was, everything you could think of being auctioned off there. But there was a hunting rifle auctioned off, if I recall right.
By hunting rifle, do you mean an AR-15?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean by a hunting rifle?
I mean, we're talking Alaska hunting, yeah.
Shot my deer with an AK-47. Pretty standard, I think. See, the thing is, I think when you raffle them off, what can happen is somebody who didn't really want a gun ends up owning a gun. And then when they don't want it, they might not get rid of it in the most appropriate way because they don't really give a shit about it or ever shot it or realize what the thing is. And so then they just hand it to somebody or...
Throw it in the garbage can and then...
Do whatever with it. But I mean...
trash picker.
And then, I mean, also, too, if... You just acquire this gun, you might just, not exactly store it in the safest manner.
Right.
Yeah.
I've never been a big enough hunter to like keep hunting guns. So mine are like little pistols pretty much. I don't even own a shotgun. I own a 410 shotgun my grandpa gave me when I was a kid.
Oh, that's
fun. The culture I grew up in. Like when you turned like two, my grandpa gave, if you're the firstborn son, you got a 410 shotgun.
You got a 410.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
It's a smaller gauge. It's more for like hunting rabbit and squirrel.
Yeah.
Those kind of things. But yeah. You know, little kid firearms.
Yeah, that's what I need is a little kid firearm. Like something I can like wound someone with. Right. Like I don't want to, that's my problem is like, even if you're stealing from me, I don't want to kill you. I just want to stop you from doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to necessarily kill you. I want to wound the shit out. Like, I'll maim you. Like, I have no problem, like if you lose a leg over the incident. But I don't want to kill you.
Jeff, what you need to do is you need to go get a 12-gauge shotgun.
Sounds like something that would kill somebody.
If you ever think there's somebody in your home, just rattle that piece off into the ceiling or somewhere. And whoever's in the house will leave.
I think the racking of it is a deterrent. You know, if you get the pump action, you just do that. Yeah, you know, that's almost all you need.
But what if they have a
rack
What if like they
you
have
do
a
something real flamboyant? You can get them out of there.
What if they have a 13 gauge shotgun though? On them?
Well, okay, so now you're dealing with a guy who makes his own special guns, and right. that is concerning. And you should shoot him right away.
Yeah,
probably an assassin.
Yeah,
and I think pretty much you're probably screwed anyway if the guy breaking into your house came in there exclusively or specifically for the reasons of having a shotgun battle.
Yeah.
You're probably fucked anyway. Like, I think most of them are looking for a TV or some electronic devices.
No, he's there to test his 13 gauge.
Yeah.
Buddy.
I hope this guy has a shotgun.
How that works. Yeah.
He breaks in, wakes the family up. Anybody here got a shotgun? No. All right. See you later.
What if that's how
I'm only here for gun battles?
What if when you bought a gun, you're entered into a lottery system, and at any point they will send an intruder to your home? It's guaranteed. We promise you, within the next 5 years, you'll have somebody come into your home.
You'll get to shoot
somebody. You'll get to shoot somebody.
What if you? This is what we should design is an alarm system where once if a door or window is breached, there's like a 7 second delay, and it's a series or speakers all over your house, like surround sound speakers. And it's a series of shotguns racking, like four. So now you sound like a fully crazed shotgun ready family, like and it's surround sound, so they sound like you're all around them. That's the perfect deterrent, I think.
That is, like, and if you throw in a little dialogue like "Sissy, Bubby, get your 12 gauges," like I think that would really,
yeah. Really finally, we got one.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody wake Peepaw.
Can you guys even, you know, and there's another thing for almost like ear protection. Like, I remember early on, it like wasn't even a thing. Like, I remember like being in the Marine Corps and that, like, you maybe got those little styrofoam things to put in your ears to shoot, like, all the way through a boot camp. That's why I'm half deaf, I think. And now, like, they have really good, you know, you wear the headphone things and you have the little knobs you turn and you can't hear anything. And then they have the knob that you turn and it's noise canceling for high velocity
sounds. You can hear somebody talking.
I can hear you, and I can hear you talking from far away. So if you're the range instructor, I can hear you clear as a bell from a very good distance. But if the gun goes off, it's very, very muffled. It's weird how that technology works.
My brother loves guns. He loves them, like, more than anyone I've ever seen love guns. But he also can take it apart. He knows how to build a gun. He knows how to build his own suppressors. Like, he knows how to make bullets. He knows, like, everything about guns. You can show him a gun, and he can tell you exactly what it is. He's one of those guys. He also can shoot like a psychopath I've never seen before. It's like a movie. It's John Wick level accuracy.
Does he blindfolds himself and he...
No, but, like, he'll do sort of, like... I mean, I'm sure, I don't know if cops ever did this, but he does like some shooting drills. Like, he knows actual things to like prepare yourself for. So when he can just pull that bad boy and dump a clip of 45s into like a 3-inch circle, like 50 feet out, I mean, he's shooting. People stop at the shooting range to watch him shoot because he's just, it's insane. It's crazy.
That's when you know you're good.
Well, but also, that's kind of like the level of understanding of guns I would hope most gun nuts have, but they don't. They're like, I got a bunch. You know, like, okay. Right. That's the extent of their gun knowledge.
I have people at the laundromat stop and watch me fold my clothes. That's how good.
Are you a solid folder?
Oh, I am a solid folder.
Did you used to work retail? Is that where you gained your skills, or is this a family thing?
As a young child, my mom's like, "I've been doing your laundry," so I got really good at folding laundry.
That's awesome.
My thing about guns is, like, I feel, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but I feel like if you aren't willing to shoot someone with it, like, you shouldn't have it. Not that you want to shoot someone with it, but if you aren't willing to use it and take someone else's life, you probably shouldn't even have it to pull out on somebody, because they're just going to take it from you and rape your mom with it.
Like, probably. Although I think... man, it's hard to think that if someone was like attacking your family, or definitely you can tell that's what they're there for, that you couldn't find that instinct, that it just wouldn't occur to you. So I think even a lot of people that think I would never kill someone with this firearm, given the right circumstance, I would say most of us would, our instincts would kick in, you know?
Jeff, I live on the opposite end of the spectrum. I'm afraid I'm going to shoot somebody too soon. I'm afraid, Jeff, you're going to, for some reason, have to come into my home some night after you shaved your beard, and I'm going to be like, who's that? I'm going to shoot you, and you're like, oh, it's Jeff. That's my fear, is I'm not going to process the moment enough and then, you know, shoot a neighbor or something.
I definitely have friends who have personally told me I won't buy a gun because of that. Like, I think I am way too willing to kill somebody with a gun. Like, I would overreact or react too soon with it, and I'm scared.
I do think, though, if you're just a civilian, and probably for the police too, if you should wait, the moment should be when you pull your gun that you have to use it. Other than that, you should talk to people as much as you can. But
can you think? Do you think people used to have this conversation back in like the Middle Ages, where they were like, you know, there was people talking about swords and there was sword control, and
psychos just waving his sword around at everybody,
all willy nilly, just going all willy nilly.
So anyway, I follow their carriage down a dead end trail, and I get up there, and these guys are holding daggers in their laps.
I accidentally cut off this other chariot with my chariot, and this hillbilly starts waving his sword at me. Like,
it turns out it's a low level noble and some page boy.
We were talking about ear protection and the technology behind it. Also, listening to music or podcasting is getting better with technology because you guys. We're thinking this whole podcast, oh, Todd doesn't have earphones on. There might be an echo in the final product. But boom.
What?
They're in my
ears.
Right
there.
It's Raycon wireless earbuds. Whether you're working from home or working on your fitness, you want what you're listening to be what you're listening to, not what your stupid fiance or your selfish kids or your half-dumb roommate are listening to. Everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. But before you drop hundreds of dollars on a pair, check out wireless earbuds from Raycon. You already know Raycon earbuds start about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market. And that they sound just as amazing as other top audio brands you know. Their newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, which we all have, are their best ones yet. And they have 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and a more compact design that gives you a nice noise isolating fit. Raycon's wireless earbuds are so comfortable. I always talk about all the time, I have weird shape ear holes. The other kinds of earbuds just fall out. I can't keep them in there for like 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and they just fall loose and I catch them in my hand. Not these babies. They're in there and they're in there for good. I just shake my head around like I'm doing right now, and it's not a problem. So this is what I want you to do. This company, by the way, founded by Ray J, extra cool. Other celebrities like Snoop Dogg, Melissa Etheridge, Brandy, J.R. Smith, and Mike Tyson are obsessed with Raycons, so you know they're cool. Now's the time for you to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/funtown. That's buyraycon.com/funtown for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. buyraycon.com/funtown. So,
now, Todd, can you turn your head to the side again so I can see those?
Boom.
Okay, you have very low-profile ears, you know that? I thought for a second there you might have been one of those guys who tucks his ear into his hat, but...
It used to be a running gag on social media. If there was a photo of me, like a selfie straight on, people were like, where are your ears? Because if I get exactly straight on, my ears do not show up in photos.
Yeah, they're gone.
That's crazy.
They're like pinned to my head. And I don't know why. That's why sometimes I like a hat that'll ride real low because it'll push my ears out a little bit and I feel normal again. Like, oh, you guys, like you can see my ears.
just baffling some plastic surgeon. No, doc, I want him out more. I want him out. Yeah. I want to hear the world.
Uh-huh. I could never be a model. I'm not good looking enough to be a model anyway, but let's say I was, my whole career would be screwed because on the straight-on yeah. shots, they'd be like, can't use you. You don't have ears.
Where are your ears?
Yeah.
There's an earless man in this magazine.
Yeah. I have the opposite problem as Stephen Colbert. I mean, he has the yeah. ear that everybody gets distracted by. I would rather be him than me. How distracting is it that I can't see any ears? It's weird.
He talked to some people who their whole job is they like sort of critique your company or your product or you like and help you mm-hmm. make it better. But that's what they do. And so as a joke, he was like, all right, what about me? And this guy, without even thinking, goes, you have two different ears. And you could tell Colbert was like, oh, my God, like, you noticed right away. But he's like, yeah, you have two different ears. They're different. And just zeroed in on it right away. I guess it's like soft. That's why it hangs out.
Oh, there's no cartilage or
something?
There's
not like much cartilage in it.
He's like my dog, Jimmy. It just kind of droops.
My dog has a wonky ear, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's cute. I will always pick the wonky ear dog.
Yeah.
If you got a litter in front of me or I'm at a rescue, wonky ear dog every time. They always seem to have the best personality because they've been dealing with the ridicule of the other dogs their entire life. So they're strong. You guys want to hear some weird things from history? I went through the internet earlier and jot it down.
Oh, hey, before that, I don't know why I just thought of this, and this is going to bring a show to a screeching halt, but there's a group, a rap group that I listen to called Run the Jewels, and they have a new album out, and there's a couple songs on it that are absolute fire, and it makes me... I watched the videos. It makes me want to learn how to edit video because the latest one's pretty sweet with kind of that Beatles 3D cutout paper.
Oh, really?
Paper look that I'm digging. But if you're angry at the world right now, it's the perfect thing to listen to make you want to drive fast and punch a baby. I don't know. Maybe not punch a baby.
And Jeff, like, that's what the world needs. We need people speeding, and we need to be hitting the babies because they're going to be too soft for this world that we're building for them.
So we need more now. Baby punchers, that's for sure.
Well, you were talking about history, and I've been watching a ton of Vikings. Like, my girlfriend's really into the Vikings. And, mm-hmm. like, it wasn't that long ago that we just, like, your wife's hot. Axe to your forehead. She's now my hot wife. Bye. Yeah. Get on boat, sail away. Like, that was like not that long ago. Like, it's amazing. Like, we have a lot of murder now, don't get me wrong, but very less compared to many times in history. Yeah.
Like, can you imagine how horrifying it had to be like a handsome coward back in the day and some hot chicks like, hey, I like you. You're like, get away from me. We have so many murderers in our village. I'll get an axe to the face right away.
Oh, I watch it and I'm like, I would last like, they would be like, oh, we're going on our first foraging and pillaging. And like, I would get a cold on the boat and like die. Like, oh. I would put out at like 14.
You got to watch Norseman. If you like Viking stuff, watch good. Norseman. It's a parody on the Vikings TV series. And
yes,
it's so
you told me
good.
About that. I watched the first episode. It's great.
It's like Vikings in the Office mixed together.
It is. Yeah. It is.
I like it.
The chieftain's wife, she's a warrior, so she always goes on the foraging and pillaging and the rapings. And she comes back from her first one, and she's wearing a necklace of penises.
Like giant
that she took
dicks.
From her victim. Yeah, so funny. Are those penises on your necklace? Oh, yes. Were you doing the raping? Yeah, of course. We do the raping and the raping. Well, you don't have to do the raping. Oh, well, yes, I do.
Yeah.
I get so funny.
Part of the team.
Yeah. And these are your trophies. Yeah, they're trophies. That's how I keep count. just so funny. But here's something along those lines from history. There was a woman named, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Khutalun, K-H-U-T-U-L-U-N, a descendant of Genghis Khan, who refused to marry unless her suitor could beat her in a wrestling match. And she went undefeated her entire life. She never got married because evidently she was this badass wrestler chick who could out-wrestle all the dudes.
Or so she was a hideous beast.
Yeah.
And the guys were like, oh, you pinned me. I lost this one. I'm going to go bang your hot
damn
sister.
It. Damn it.
Oh, no. So,
she was, and to up the ante, she was like, well, I'm putting, you know, myself on the line in this wrestling match. So you got to put something on the line. So she would wager her. If you won, you got her. And if she won, she got your horses. And she ended up wealthy as fuck because she had thousands of horses when she died because she won all these wrestling matches. So history is saying that she was very desirable because everyone wanted the chance to have her. So all these dudes would put up their horses to wrestle her and she would beat them. Can you imagine that there's some Ronda Rousey from back in the day like that? She's just this badass MMA chick.
Not to mention she has weird horse girl energy too. That's
right.
I mean, talk about a handful right there.
So if anybody has seen the Netflix series Marco Polo, there's a character based on her, I guess, in that. So here's another one. You know, this is something that I was looking through, like viral. You know, we have viral stuff today, like the mannequin whatever that's called, where everybody freezes and all that stuff. So I was trying to find if stuff like that occurred before, and it did. It's just you had no way to show it to the masses, I guess, other than maybe a photo and you put it in some magazine or newspaper. So there was, in 1959, there was this phone booth stuffing challenge that was huge. And it was like global. It's happening all over the world. So people would see how many of them they could fit into a phone booth. And then somebody would snap a picture of it or something. So the record is 25 in South Africa. 25 people sandwiched themselves into a phone booth, like horizontally, laying down and just stacked each other staggeredly.
I want, as a performance piece, to go out and find something like a phone booth in our city and act like I'm trying to do a phone booth stuffing contest right now and see how much people freak out.
That would be awesome.
No masks allowed.
No masks allowed. Right. Need the room.
We're about freedom.
Yep.
This guy's my hero here because I really like explorers. I also like Vikings, but next to Vikings, I think I like explorers. And in 1929, there was this Arctic explorer named Peter Fruchen, who he was caught in an avalanche. And so he was covered in this avalanche, which a lot of Arctic explorers, that's how they end up dying. And this guy ended up digging himself out by taking his own shit and then honing it to a point in his little like space cave that he had underneath this avalanche and chiseled his way out of the avalanche
with a frozen
sharpened turd. Yeah,
he took a dump and froze it. This isn't just like a low fiber diet. This is a frozen dump that he
he shit and then thought, wow. So either I'm guessing that he either had it'd be interesting to know if he had the inspiration before he had to shit, like, wow, I can't wait till I shit because, you know, I always thought, you know, you could sharpen the frozen shit to get out of something like this. Or was it just like, it happened, he's like, oh no, now I'm trapped here with my own shit. And he's,
if I go to prison, I'm going to make a shit shiv.
Right, you could. Oh,
and just dry it out, just, you know, mold it and then, you know, stick it on the top of my bunk and dry it out.
Yeah, it's a perfect weapon because if they don't die from the initial stabbing, they're going to catch a nasty infection.
Exactly.
Which can later
pink
be an
eye
issue
at
for
the worst.
Yeah.
Or exactly. At the least.
You know, Jeff, you could just make a shiv and put a little bit of shit on it. You don't have to have a little shit sculpture on your bed.
Well, I'm saying if I don't have an in for a shiv, I can just shit myself one.
Yeah. I see.
I got you.
Yeah, I would, of course, go for metal shiv first, but if metal and plastic were unavailable, It's good to know if fucking Mike down the way wants to get all stabby with me tomorrow, that I can just take a shit today and form it out into a lovely ice pick. And
I don't see there being any way a human shit could dry enough overnight to be sharpened.
What if I do this? Hold on.
Yeah, if you blow on it, yeah. But I mean, your cell's going to stink real bad then.
That's Jeff in solitary confinement. Like, they're going to be waiting for me when I get out, and they don't let me have anything in here. I don't even have a toothbrush.
They open the door, 400 shit shivs just lined everywhere.
They're like Chinese throwing stars. You're just throwing them at the guards.
They drop like flies against the door. Some prison psychiatrist checking in. Jeffrey, are you still making your poop knives, or what?
Oh yeah. They could get me
until you stop.
You know, I might. I think I'm kind of on your same page, but like less violent, because I'm going to assume I get along with the inmates, Jeff. So I'm going to make my own poop chess pieces.
Ooh.
So I'm going to carve the chess pieces out of my own shit after I dry it out, and then play chess with the other inmates, as opposed to gang violence.
How would you get the two different colors? Is there a certain food you'd lean into for a couple weeks when you're doing?
I think you'd have to, right? Like you would on, you know, Salisbury steak day, maybe you're like, I'm going to make the, you know, my side. And then on anything that might really be dark, I don't know what really darkens poop. Maybe anything with a cranberry, blueberry, yeah, with berries in
beets.
It.
Beets.
Yeah. Beets. Do they have delicious treats like that in prison?
But it's jail, so you'd probably just have to swallow like ink out of a pen or something. You know what I mean? Like,
there you go. Yeah.
Or what if you steal some bleach from the laundry and just bleach half of your poo?
That's perfect. Then you have white and brown.
Yeah. You got white your poo pieces. Brown.
Yeah.
And you're ready to play.
Mm-hmm. It's perfect. There you go. Or, you know, and if they don't let you have bleach but in your prison and your laundry room, then you just fucking kick a little side action to one of the guards. Have them bring you some bleach.
Oh, my God. Okay, so there's a reality show. It's like a year old. It's about it's a prison somewhere, I think, in Indiana. And they follow, like, it's got women on some floors, it's got dudes on other floors. And what they'll do is they'll scoop all the water out of their toilet, and they'll scoop all the water out of their toilet, and they'll get a bunch of solo cups and stack it in there, and they use it like a telephone. And they'll, like, hit on chicks from different floors. They also will take, and they'll send these things called kites, and they hook them onto ropes, and they flush their toilet, and it goes down to somebody else's toilet, and they flush their rope at the same time with a fork on the end, and they get spun together, and then they hoist it up, and they send knives that way. They send, like, nudies that they draw of themselves. They send, like, love letters. It's amazing what they get done.
I mean, the ingenuity, the level of ingenuity in prison is fucking mind-blowing to me. They make their own alcohol. I mean, they manage to get these phones in there. I know when my cousin was in there, he would say that guys would get visits from their ladies. And I took my grandma to see my cousin one time. And you were allowed, if you were the visitor, to go to a vending machine. The inmate couldn't get up from the table. You could go to the vending machine and, like, buy a little bag of peanut M&Ms and bring it to your inmate, set it on the table, and then your inmate could eat them during the conversation, right? So then you could take one thing back to your of candy back to your cell. So he was saying that girls would bring in balloons of heroin, and they would be filled to in colors of the peanut M&Ms. And so it looked just like a peanut M&M pretty much. Put it in their self, and then, like, during the visit, go get the bag of M&Ms out of the thing, tear it open, and then he would eat, like, half of them. And then sometime during the visit, the girl would release, boop, boop, these little balloons, colored balloons of heroin or whatever the drug is, and then slide it over, and he would put it into the peanut M&M bag. And then when you show the guard, you just, you know, it's open. Hey, see? And oh, yeah, it's just peanut M&Ms. And then you would go back with, like, all these bundles of heroin. And now you're prison rich because you got a half of M&M bag full of heroin. Yeah. I think the ingenuity is fucking incredible. Incredible.
Yeah. Oh, the best part on this show was if, like, a girl got her heart broken, like, all the women on the floor would flush at the same time and flood the men's cells below.
That's pretty
funny. I'm talking, like, waterfall overflowing. Like, you know, they're, like, the two layers of cells, and, like, the top is, like, water falling off the end to the lower concourse flooding. It is great.
Even in prison, they one-up us during a fight. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Now, I do know that there was a prison in Indiana here, near Indianapolis, that a girl got pregnant. And she had been in there for like 4 months. Mm-hmm. So no one, like, how this happened. Well, somebody ratted her out, and it's one of those jails where there's men and women. And there's a hallway that separates them, and I guess it's just like two barred doors. And every once in a while you walk by, you can see each other. And this dude, to get her pregnant, because she met some guy in there, or knew he was there, or whatever, liked him, would see him. He went and jerked off into an old Doritos bag, and then just right when he was walking by, tossed it real quick and got it over to her. Just threw it across the hall through one door and through the other, and then she took it and used it.
And she just two-finger married it?
Yep.
Right in there? Oh, my God.
And whoa. So
I didn't know you could do that.
I didn't know that either.
Amazing. God, but
apparently you can. That's how they figured out it happened.
No, Mom and Dad.
They both now
I fell on a bag of Doritos.
They both now live on a cool ranch out in Texas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That kid's now an astronaut, and he, yeah, he's done great things in his life.
Yeah, he doesn't have a face tattoo.
Not at all. Here's another weird one that I really like. Before there were alarm clocks, there were knockers up who were hired to shoot dried peas from a blowgun at people's windows in order to wake them up in the morning at specific times. This is a crazy, they even had a picture of it. And so this long blowgun. So you would pay, like, usually it was like, you know, 12-year-old kids or whatever, and they would just walk the streets. Oh, here's everybody that needs up at 7 in the morning and just blow these dried peas and rack them off their window, their bedroom window. It's fucking it's so
that's
funny.
Awesome.
I feel like there's a need for that still. Like,
I know.
If you lived in like a smaller community where it, you know, like a where the houses are close to each other, and you know, 12-year-old boy, get them out there with a pea shooter. And,
I mean, there's no like, and there's no snooze button. So if you're one of those people that has a real problem with the snooze button, that kid's not going to wait till you can. He's not going to go away till he can see you're up. So,
or he could just go outside your window and rack off his 13 gauge and just shoot it up in the air.
Whoa, 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 Jeff! We're not trying to start a war here.
Oh, my bad.
This is the deadliest surgical procedure in history. In 1847, Robert Liston, who was a surgeon famous for how fast he was in surgery, which was important back then because anesthesia wasn't really a thing, so the quicker you could get through it, the better off it was for the patient, usually. But yes, you're right, Austin. Speed in surgery, not usually something you brag about.
Yeah.
But he performed an amputation in 25 seconds. It was a leg amputation, and he operated so quickly that he accidentally amputated his assistant's fingers as well.
What, he used a sword?
I don't know what he, I'm assuming they had a big, like, choppy chop knife thing, because they didn't have, or maybe it was an actual saw, bone saw, but he right through his assistant's fingers. He was going so fast, and so that's two people. And when he did that, the assistant, like, freaked out and, like, slung, you know, no fingers, and blood's everywhere. And back then, like, people would watch the medical procedures, usually if it was at a, like, a medical institution, from like a balcony thing overhead. Right. And someone was so traumatized up there, they went into shock, fell, smacked their head, and had a heart attack. So three people ended up dying from this one medical procedure. And it's documented in medical history.
The guy died from losing his fingers?
Yeah, they got septic. He got septic, and the person who got his leg amputated, he got septic, died of sepsis. And yeah,
that was still back before boiling water.
You didn't want to get anything amputated back in 1847.
Yeah. Hey, get the cold water from the creek. Just wait for the cows to get out of it and then fetch some cold water from that pond.
And this one's my absolute... Well, I really like this guy. There was a pirate who was pretty notorious back in the days of pirates. His name was Benjamin Hornigold. And he was a pirate and a pirate hunter. So, like, the worst human being on the planet. He's either stealing from you and robbing you and killing you, or he's hunting down other people that are within his industry for money. But he once attacked a ship just to steal all of the crew members' hats because he and his crew had gotten really drunk at the pubs the night before and lost their hats. So they went out the next day and decided to bum rush a ship and kill everybody there to take their hats before they sailed off. Worst pirate move ever. But also, I kind of respect it.
I mean, you're pirating.
I mean, if you're a pirate, what are we going to do for hats? We'll just attack the ship, kill everybody, and take their hats.
We're worried about 20 murders in Chicago in a weekend. Right. Come on.
The world
slaughtered a whole ship just for new hats. I think we'll be all right.
And this is the last one and my favorite. There was a Japanese soldier named Hiro Onoda who never realized World War II was over until 1974. Have you heard this story before?
Yeah.
This is like the most awesome story of all time. He was sent to a small island in the Philippines to spy on American forces.
Awesome. It's horrifying.
He evaded capture.
He was in fear for years and years after he needed to.
For like 30 years, he refused to believe the war was over.
He hid in the Philippine jungle, living off the land for like 30 years until finally he came out and was like, and makes his way back to Japan and finds out the war is over. That's the kind of soldier you want. That guy. He's in it to win it. You know what I mean? 30, I think even after like 6 months, well, probably after 6 days, I'm going to be like, the war's over for me. Like, my war is over.
Yeah. Getting back after 30 years being like, they're going to give me a medal. They're going to be so proud of me for staying through it. And they're like, listen, we're not going to put you on TV because you're fucking crazy. Yeah. And you're going to make us look bad. And we're trying to keep it hush-hush about you, to be honest.
We don't want people to know we have people that are stupid.
People know how fucking dumb we are.
We're kind of famous for being smart. I don't know if you know that or not.
Yeah, we're known for
that's
being
our reputation
stuff.
In the world. Yeah. So
we sort of got this math thing going on right now. Right.
Have you seen our electronic devices? We're very smart people. And you hid like a dumbass in the jungle for 30 years?
You'd think after like 6 months of like no gunfire. Or you'd be like, right. I gotta go look around, see what's happening. See if,
I mean, did he think he was like the resistance at that point? And he's like, all I gotta do is just meet someone.
And then, he's putting messages in bottles, like little coded messages, just leaving them. Little did he know, no one on the island reads Japanese, so it was a waste of time.
Sneaking up to little Filipino kids and being like, you want to join the Japanese army? What?
This has been a fun one. Thanks for hanging with us, guys. And send Jess all your good vibes. And hopefully she's back next week. I want people to know that last minute booking, Brad Williams had to cancel at Helium in St. Louis, and I am taking his place this weekend. So I'll be there. If you go to heliumcomedy.com, hit the St. Louis store, you can buy tickets there, and you can only buy them online. They do not sell tickets at the door. That is a COVID no-no. No physical transactions. So if you want tickets for that and you live anywhere near St. Louis, go there and buy them. And for me and Austin and Jeff, that's going to be it. Thanks again, you guys. Don't forget, if you like this podcast, to rate and review. We are out.